Yeah, I'm okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Karen Cam Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Cam, author of the number one bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. If you don't have a copy of my book, you can get some excerpts absolutely free at www.karencam.com. And when you put your name and email address in on the front page, you'll actually get access to these chapters of my book, as well as five of my Fast Track Your Healing programs, which are online classes that you can take absolutely free whenever you want. It's very, very convenient. So I'd love to have connections with you. So check us out on Facebook as well as some of the other social media. And today we're going to be talking about concussions. Now, a lot of people don't actually know this. They know that after reading my book that I've had fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome. But in 1995, I crashed my car, and I love this little car. It was a Jeep Eagle Summit wagon, and it was so cute. It was tiny, and it had this little sliding door, but it was kind of high up, so I was sitting kind of high up in the chair, and I was in the front seat. Obviously, I was driving that particular day, April 5th, actually, there was a snap snowstorm, as there often is in the Adirondacks. You never know what the weather's going to be. And I was rushing home to meet a friend to watch a movie, driving an hour from Kiesel back to Lake Placid. And I slid off the road, got a gust of wind. It took that little car, which was a little on the tall side, and I just bought this car, too. It wasn't that long ago. And I could see I was going to hit a tree. And I thought, well, this is a sapling. How bad could it be, right? And all I could think of was, oh, shoot, this is a new car as I hit this tree. And I was woken up by somebody, and I had no idea I'd passed out. And he says, are you okay, ma'am? I said, well, I think so. I mean, nothing really hurts right now. And he said, okay, we'll just stay here. Let me call for help. And then it seemed like forever. He came back, and he goes, well, we got to get you out of your car. I said, okay. So I had the wherewithal to actually grab my stethoscope in the back seat of my knapsack, and then we went into his vehicle. And actually, my vehicle was set on fire from the crash and burned all the way back to the second seat. So had he not woken me up, I probably would be burned. So these are these amazing angels in our lives, and he happened to be an EMT. The next person that came and just stopped by, he'd see there's an accident, happened to also work for the fire. I think he was a fireman. And all, you know, all the people that came in the ambulance, they were all either patients of mine, or it's a small town. So it was like everybody knew that I had this head injury until, and my husband was like the last person out. But after suffering from that, I remember thinking, oh, I'm going to go back to work, you know, like, people need me, you know, this is a small town, people need me. And here I was with airbag cuts on my face going back to work. And even the CEO of the hospital shook her head like, oh, my gosh, this person's a workaholic. Now, I went through some what we call post-concussion syndrome. And we're going to talk a little bit about that because our guest, Dr. Joni Liu, is an expert in concussions. And we're going to let her tell her story about her son and how she got into all of this. But had I known what I know now, what we're going to learn today, I think it would have been very different, because I think that concussion and post-concussion syndrome really set me up for some of the chronic fatigue fibromyalgia I developed years later. And now, you know, people know that I'm really talk a lot about what I call brain balance, that autonomic nervous system. Is it on board? Is it on? Is it balancing properly? And so many people that I see with issues, their brain balance is completely off. Their autonomic nervous system is completely locked in stress mode. Many of them have had concussions in their life or a really good knock to the spine or head. So few realize that this has been years or decades of neurologic imbalance since that point, even though they don't have symptoms of their concussion any longer. So, and that's why I use the LifeWave yawn patches because it helps to, when you put them on acupuncture points on the head, helps to balance that autonomic nervous system and get people back on the healing mode. And I discovered it through just trial and error of somebody who had, you know, multiple concussions and was not brain balanced. I put this patch on his head, and all of a sudden, boom, he's brain balanced. And so that started me on the road of realizing, boy, you know, these issues can be longstanding even though the person does not have a recent head injury. So I'm so pleased to welcome to the show Dr. Joni Liu, who, let me tell you a little bit about her. She is a physician who's also an acupuncturist like myself, and she is a sports medicine specialist, author, speaker, and a brain expert who is committed to helping patients get personalized healing plans for their concussions holistically. So right up our alley, so holistic healing, and she became really interested in this arena because of her own adult son suffering a severe concussion that blinded him, but we're going to let her tell that story. And you can visit Dr. Joni at www.drjoni.com. That's spelled DrJoanny, all one word, drjoni.com. So welcome, Dr. Joni, to the show.
And thank you so much, Dr. Karen. Wow, that was a great introduction. And thank you so much for inviting me on the show, because I really, truly believe in the mission that you are on. So thanks for letting me be part of this.
Oh, wow. It's our pleasure. And, you know, it was so cool to be connected to, you know, yet another amazing person, expert like you, who's really, through personal experience, is really grown so much in an expertise area. And I can really tell just by looking, you know, at your web website, talking to you, just how patient and as well passionate you are about this particular topic. So tell us about your personal experience. What got you into all of this?
I guess it actually goes back to when Sidney Crosby, who is a star player with Philadelphia, with the Pittsburgh Penguins, back in January 1st, 2011, when he first got his concussion in an outdoor game, and, you know, didn't think anything of it, because you hear about concussions in professional sports almost every week. But the thing is that I started to notice that he wasn't coming back very fast, and that much later, his doctors kept looking for other diagnoses because they couldn't figure out what was wrong. And, of course, it actually took him almost 2 years to come back. So it really piqued my interest. And I thought at the time, geez, you know, I wish I could talk to Sidney Crosby about what was happening with him, you know, because he wasn't getting any answers.
Right.
And then the last thing I ever dreamed was for me to receive a call when my son called me one night and he said, "Mom, I've got a concussion. I was hit so hard in the head, I went blind." And he was 28 years old at the time. He's a chemical engineer, works really hard, has a really demanding job. And so I was really shocked that I would have to use my healing process to actually help him with his severe concussion, because he waited for 2 weeks because he figured, you know, he could actually deal with this himself, because
right.
He is a young man, you know, he's got his own home. He's been taking care of himself for many years already. Of course he would, you know, attempt to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But by the time he called me, it was 2 weeks later, and everything had gone from bad to worse, because now he wasn't sleeping, he wasn't eating, he had no appetite, and he was still working at his full-time job. You know, like, everything had changed during the game, but thankfully it came back. Very important for him to understand that something could be done about it. So when he asked me for his help, I said, "Yes, now you have to do everything that I tell you to do." And there was no hesitation. There was no hesitation. He trusted me.
Awesome.
And that was such a blessing. It was such
yeah.
a blessing.
Oh, my gosh. So how long did it take for him to feel like he was, like, close to whatever, his best or 100%, or is he?
Well, you know, the thing, oh, yeah, you know, it's been almost 4 years, and he's had no relapses, no more headaches, no depression, nothing. So it was late August when he got the concussion, and he got it when he was playing a soccer match. I guess he was marking his man on the field. Soccer is my favorite sport. So,
oh, it is?
So,
oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, I love it. So his defender on the other side of the field kicked the ball towards him. And since he was so busy with, you know, defending the guy on the opposition, he had no idea that the ball was coming towards him. So it hit him square on the right side of the head, okay, right above the ear. And you being an acupuncturist, you will know that there's a clue there. So he dropped to the ground and, you know, they carried him off. But the thing is that he needed to understand what had happened to him. But the first thing that he had to do was to make a decision that he was going to get well. And so that was late August. He called me early September. We started working right away with each other, and he started to feel better right away. By October, he was back at light practices, and November the 2nd, he started the regular indoor season soccer just as per normal. Yeah. And so basically you become stronger. You have to become stronger than where you were before the incident happened, or before you came sick, or before you came injured. Because if you're not stronger mentally, physically, then you aren't going to get better. That's the key. That's the key. So, you know, all that winter, he continued to play soccer. He skied in Canadian Rockies. He played in his pool league. And he never missed a day of work. He never missed a day of work. That was the good news. All of it was the good news. So the thing is, he broke all the rules that people tell you to do. He didn't even go to an MD. He came straight to his mother.
Oh, wow.
Whom he thought could help him the most. And I'm so blessed that I have the skill set that I do, not knowing that it would be so important one day for my own family.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Well, when most people, when I see, you know, I don't have a lot of children in my practice, but I have some teens and young people, and the young people just tell me that their doctors don't tell them to do much. They say, well, just rest for a week and take some pain relievers, and you'll be better, and that's about it. Do you find that that's pretty common, Dr. Joni?
Yes. Yes, unfortunately it is. And I've had parents reach out to me because they know instinctively that there's got to be something more to do. So they can't see their, you know, 11-year-old boy, for example, who's so active and so athletic. They cannot see him sitting around in the dark for days on end. They just can't see that. And one mother approached me because her daughter was still suffering from post-concussion syndrome a year later from her rugby injury. So it wasn't, you know, just that. And the symptoms hadn't gotten better over time. They were actually staying the same, or they were actually getting worse. And that's actually what the research says, that their own research, you know, the odd neurologist out there gets it. So yes, you know, it's unfortunate, but not many neurologists are telling people to do something differently. Now, I just recently read a report very quickly on the internet that 90% of neurologists now agree that you've got to do something. Okay, that's a good step, but now they don't actually know what to do. So
that's what I was thinking. They don't know what to do. So there's a lot of myths, right, about that they're told about concussions. And well, I'll tell you some of the ones that I know. I don't know if they're myths or not, so maybe you can set me straight. But you know, in our, you know, family practice journals, you know, would say, look, if someone is you know, knocked out, that's a type 2 concussion, that's a bigger deal. They may have post-concussion syndrome, and maybe you can, you know, tell the audience, for those that don't know, what those symptoms are. But then you need to rest them, and then you just recheck them, and if they don't do well, their testing, or they have still symptoms when they go back to their athletic activity. Like, for example, you have them run in the office, or you have them jump up and down, or whatever. If they get the symptoms back, then no, they can't go to play. And then, if they can, do these tests and they pass them, then they can go back, slowly to their athletic exercise. But there really isn't anything proactive as far as how do we get the brain and everything else to heal faster than just the default.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, sure, your MD, your team doctor, whatever, will put you through this, get back in the game protocol, and they'll test you. But the thing is that while you're going through it, they're not actually able to give you any solutions on the way so that you can recover quickly. So it's still about waiting and doing nothing. And mm-hmm. I know athletes hate to be sidelined.
Oh my gosh,
regardless,
yeah.
Right. Regardless of whether they're professionals or whether they're amateur athletes, they love to do what they do, and they want to get back on the field. There is no question about it. So when they're taken off, go through this protocol, and they're not allowed to play, and yet there's nothing that they can do about it because they're told that they can't do anything about it, that actually just leads to more depression because you feel so helpless. So you only pile on and make things worse. And of course, yes, their research is also showing that, by doing nothing, it leads, people have more susceptibility to being depressed. Well, wouldn't you be if you were left by yourself and you had nothing but your thoughts and there's nobody to guide you about how you should actually be thinking? So mm-hmm. what do people normally do? They think of the worst case scenario.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Right. So that doesn't help.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And definitely when the head is injured and you get locked in that stress mode I was talking about earlier, that tendency is to be stuck there emotionally as well. And
yeah.
without guidance mm-hmm. to be just, everything's dark. So what about post-concussion syndrome? So what is that exactly and how is that diagnosed?
Well, I mean, you have your concussion. And that's pretty obvious. If you've got nausea, if you've got vomiting, loss of appetite, sleep problems, if you're suddenly or maybe even more emotional than usual, and of course the headaches. The headaches are a big thing. You could also have eye problems like my son did. So if these, over time, most of these things will dissipate, but if you're still having headaches long after the original blow to the head, if you're still experiencing sleep problems, anything like that, even some cognitive problems, unable to concentrate, then yes, if those first symptoms last more than a week, 2 weeks, then and it keeps going on for a longer time, for weeks, months, even years, then, yeah, you're suffering from PCS.
Wow. And it seems to me that even if someone didn't, say, hit their head, like maybe they have a blow to their sacrum or their fell or, the car accident, but they didn't have a hit to the head, that they can still suffer from concussions, right?
Yeah, that's possible. Now, I want to tell you this very interesting story. I live in Calgary, so we have a hockey team called the Calgary Flames, and there was one player, Ray Bourque, who was traded to the Montreal Canadiens, and it shocked everybody at the time because he himself thought he had a good long future with the hockey club, and so did the media, and so did his fans, and I was a fan.
I love Ray Bourque.
Oh, awesome. Great. So he moved on. He said, this is great. But people who knew him knew that he wasn't that happy. And so I checked up on him on the news and was shocked to find out that he had a concussion. Okay. So then I dug a little deeper and was surprised to hear the backstory. So the backstory is that he went to his team doctors because he wasn't feeling very good. So they actually diagnosed him with the flu. They gave him some stuff and they sent him home. Well, after a few days, he came back. He wasn't feeling very good. So he still wasn't feeling very good. So they decided to check him out even further. And they discovered that he had a concussion. But nobody knew how he got it, neither from a game nor practice at home. Nobody could figure it out. So is it possible to confuse the flu for a concussion or the other way around? So he was misdiagnosed, and then when they finally did diagnose him, they put him on an indefinite injury list. But the thing is that they misdiagnosed him in the first place. But on the other hand, they didn't know how he got it. So you don't need a blow to the head to get a concussion. So why is the brain weak? Yeah. Why has the brain been weakened? Yeah.
Yeah, that is fascinating. So what are, now if somebody says, okay, we know we have a concussion, or they have, yes, I probably have post-concussive syndrome now, what do you recommend, or what's the process of getting proactive treatment rather than just rest and then not playing?
I think you've got to go to a classical Chinese sports medicine doctor who is also an expert in the realm of classical Chinese psychology. Because we already understand that relationship between your psychology and your physiology. We do not separate the two. I mean, you know from your own training that we talk about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not by accident that whatever you are thinking is also causing an upset somewhere in your body. And if it happens to be your head in a particular individual case that is weak, then that's the place where there's going to be a problem in the physical part of your life. Now, the thing with my son is that he was hit on the side of the head above the ear. Now, you know, Dr. Karen, that the gallbladder meridian runs through there.
Right.
And so it runs from the outside the eye, around the head, all the way down to the tip of the little toe there. And so the gallbladder governs decision-making. Well, from my intake with him, I found out that he was very troubled at work. He was having problems at work. And the reason why he was having problems at work was that this was a time when things were just going crazy in Calgary, and it was hard to get new people. His manager, a very well-respected man, had resigned to go work offshore somewhere. So it took the company about 6 months to find somebody. And this new supervisor told his young team of engineers, "I want to be your friend."
Uh-oh.
Well, well, that's okay, like, by your reaction, yeah, that's exactly the reaction they had. We're kind of looking for a leader, you know, so it didn't go over well at all. And one of my son's best friends had decided, hey, I'm quitting. You know, I'm going to look for a new job. I'm leaving. But my son was in a quandary because he loves where he works, but he didn't want to work for this guy. What to do. So it was that indecision that really stressed him out. So it was not by accident that he was hit in the head, on that side of the head, above the ear. Because he couldn't decide, and he was very confused. So there was already confusion there. And so I used that information in order to diagnose my clients. This is how it works for me. It becomes extremely intuitive because wherever you have your injury, whatever your organ is affected, it's a big clue to me about the psychological state that you're in. And that's what I work on.
Wow. So what you're saying is that, you know, because he was having these issues that related to the gallbladder meridian, already that he was susceptible to having injuries there. It's like he co-manifested with the universe, you know, this event to like highlight, hey, there's an imbalance, you know, in your life, in your body, in your soul, in your spirit, and here's how we get your attention.
Exactly. It was a knock in the head from God. That's the way I look at it. And, you know, like it could have hurt him somewhere else, because that gallbladder meridian runs from the head down to the little toe, right? It could have hurt him in the calf. It could have hurt him in the glutes. It could have hurt him in his ribs. I mean, it could have been anywhere if it was weak at that point, but it was really because there was so much confusion that was already in his life, and it weakened his brain. Because it's one thing about the brain is that it is highly affected by stress, by stressful thinking, okay? And that's what stress is. It's negativity at a very chronic level. A little bit of stress in your life, if you can get past it, is okay, you know? But if it's something that you keep harboring, that you keep thinking about, then all you're doing is just growing it and growing it and growing it, and until it becomes chronic. And stress really does affect the limbic brain, the emotional part of your brain. I mean, the brain is emotional. So what it does is it starts shrinking parts of your brain. No kidding.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. And I can say when I had my concussion back in 95, that no question, I was a ball of stress, and I lived off of it. I mean, that was my motto, kind of like, if you weren't stressed, you weren't trying hard enough.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't worthy if I didn't feel stressed. If I was relaxed, then there must be something wrong, because that means I'm not working hard enough. And so I just didn't want to look at those pieces of myself. I just wasn't really ready to grow that. And so, definitely. I needed a whole bunch of 2x4s, actually. I took a lot of Angelica help to really make me stop and realize that I wasn't happy in my marriage, that stress didn't have to be there. And it's funny looking back at, you know, like my family, and seeing the patterns now more from an observer point of view, and the habitual, you know, stress, that somehow stress has to be there. Otherwise, what are you going to do with your life? You know, it was there to, let's ignore the unhappy marriage or the issues in the marriage, and let's just cover it up with all this other stress.
We can't ignore it. No, we have to face them head on. And one of the things that I had my son do, I mean, he's an engineer. So a lot of engineers are pretty quiet people. I mean, I'm a former engineer myself, okay?
Oh, really?
So a lot of us, that's what I did for 24 years before I went back to school and studied Chinese medicine. So he's an engineer, pretty quiet, and I told him, hey, you know, your boss has no idea that you're suffering. Mm-hmm. So you're the one who's suffering, so you're the one who has to do something about this. And so I instructed him, because I had made so many mistakes when I was in corporate. I mean, it almost made me very, very sick as well, because I had a cancer scare. But I did not want to happen to him what could have happened to me. So we were going to break that cycle right there and then. So I told him, okay, then you're the one who has to make the move. You're going to go ask him to set up a meeting with him on a weekly basis, on a regular basis, and you're going to go in and you're going to talk to him and ask him for what you want. And like, I don't know what it is that you really want, but you're the one who knows. So you're going to do this. And then I waited. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Because I knew that he would say, absolutely not, Mom. Or, you know, whatever, right? Or whatever excuses. And, of course, it just took him a little while, and he says, okay, I'll do it. And I and I kept his feet to the fire because I'm an accountability partner with him as well as my clients. Okay, that's really
right.
important. So every time we saw each other, I asked him, okay, how's it going with your boss? Did you meet with
right.
him? You know, and because he felt, because he had made a promise to himself that he was going to get better, he made the commitment. It wasn't really that important to make the promise to me. It was more
right.
important that he made the promise to himself. Okay, that's the important thing. That's the one decision that makes a person come out of the fire. Okay, and so he did have those meetings, and he just got better faster and faster. And what did it come down to? It came down to the fact that he was taking control.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't sitting around waiting for something to happen. He took control of the situation in the only way that he really could, and that was in communication with this guy. Okay? And so, but I said to him, you know, you're going to do this, but there is no guarantee that he's going to see eye to eye to you. There's no guarantee at all that he's going to agree with you. And he did it anyways. My son went and did it anyways because he knew he was going to take control of his situation. And that's why, you know, he has a new life skill because he knows he can handle this because he's told me about two other separate, excuse me, occasions where he's had to use his skill. And it's helped him. Yeah, it's fantastic because, you know, he's a shy guy. And so doing something like this is not easy for him. But because he grew stronger in his own mind, because that's where it counts, is becoming strong within our minds, believing in ourselves and in our own ability. That's what makes him and my clients and anybody else grow stronger and become well and whole again. That is the key. And
mm-hmm.
I see it all the time. I see it all the time. It's wonderful.
Well, it's true. I love what you say because many times we're in the habit of, and we have this, you know, generally kind of authoritarian relationship with our doctors. And so it's sort of
mm-hmm.
like, well, we go to the doctors and we receive some advice. Or we go to the acupuncturist or someone else and they're going to treat me, they're going to heal me, you know, and then we don't get necessarily the understanding that, like you said, we have to actually commit to our
oh, yeah.
own healing first. I mean,
yeah.
it's not just about somebody else healing us. It's really for us to decide that, okay, I am going to do what's necessary to heal. And sometimes some of these things, like you're talking about, these empowering actions, are totally not what people expect that they're going to be
mm-hmm.
needing to do to heal. But that was that absolutely was exactly why I had to go through everything that I went through so I could be self-empowered. It didn't have to be victim-y, you know, the rest
mm-hmm.
of my life like I was, you know, pretending to be. And so that's wonderful that, you know, that you've got this program where you can really help people be self-empowered around whatever, you know, their injuries or illnesses, and with your guidance and understanding and accountability, be able to see their own active role in healing.
That is so true because, you know, when you said victim-y, that is definitely what it is because we have to stop being victims. We have to stop accepting what we think is our lot in life because, no, we're in control of our destiny. We're in control of our minds, especially. We're in control of our bodies. Whatever the mind thinks, the body is going to obey, not the other way around.
Mm.
So that's why, you know, Nolan hasn't had a relapse. You know, that's the thing is when I read the forums, when I read the stories on the internet about people with post-concussive syndrome, you know, I guess when they were first with their doctors and things got better and they did go back to play and then a few months later there was a relapse. Well, that's because the original problem didn't get solved. People who get you know, many concussions, repeat concussions. Well, they get it. The original problem wasn't solved, and now things are worse. So I did not want that for my son. There was no way that I was ever going to let him go that way. I mean, of course, I wouldn't be able to force anything on him because he has his own free will. But I just thank God that he was willing to listen to me, even though he didn't know what he was going to be in for. And I didn't know what I was going to advise him. I had no idea, you know. But as we started working with each other and really getting to know each other, yes, you know, he's my son, but he's been living away for, up in that point, you know, 10 years because he was away from school as well.
Right.
So, you know, there was lots, I didn't live with him day to day anymore. There was lots that I didn't know about him.
Well,
so,
there was no way you could force a healing on him, basically.
Exactly. You know,
yeah.
That's the thing. We're pretty good guides. And you've really got to be motivated to be well. And he knew it. I mean, you know, like, so that was 2012. In 2013, he managed to win our tickets to the World Cup of Soccer in Brazil.
Wow.
It was, yes, in the very first round of the ticket lottery. It was amazing. It was so amazing.
Yeah, that is totally spirit saying, you did it,
yes.
Buddy. Congrats.
Yeah, exactly.
Aww.
Nobody, you know, if he had post-concussive syndrome and he was depressed, and you know, there was no way. I know there was no way that he could have lifted himself with so much belief in himself and in the good in life that he would have been able to do that. It was so incredible. But and
oh,
we
I
went
love
we had
these miracles.
Yes, yes. It was a wonderful holiday. It was the very best ever.
Oh, fantastic. Can you give us maybe another example? You talked about and by the way, folks, if you're listening and tuning in on the internet or by phone, you can actually call in and either type in a question on the chat, because I just opened the chat up, or you can call into the guest line, which is 818-514-1190. Again, the number is 818-514-1190. Just hit 1 so we know you have a question for Dr. Joni. And on the chat, you can go ahead and type in some questions as well. But I was thinking of you know, I can imagine some of the questions out there, like, okay, so you talked about this gallbladder meridian and, you know, the susceptibility to being hit there because he had decision issues, which is gallbladder meridian related. Well, what about other parts of the head? You know, because not everybody knows the anatomy of the head, so I'm sure people are interested, like, what about hits to the back of the head? Like, what does that represent? Or maybe to the front of the head, what does that represent? Like, I had mine, I hit the glass, actually. And the airbag went off. I went back, and then I went forward, and then hit the airbag, pushed me back, and bounced my head against the back of the seat, and then my head went flying forward and put a hole in the windshield.
Oh, my God.
So I had, like, these airbag cuts on my face, but I also had a little, I can't even remember which side it was, but a little, you know, a little swelling on my head, probably my forehead, I'm gathering, on the top of my head, that went through the windshield. But I got a pretty hard head, so.
Oh, wow. My God. I'm so happy that you survived it. My God.
Yeah.
Jeez. Oh, wow. Well, if it was the forehead, then from a Chinese anatomical point of view, then we're talking about the stomach meridian, as well as the dew meridian, right? And the gallbladder is in there as well. So, I mean, stomach, spleen.
Bladder.
Yeah. You know, we're thinking, so UB, the dew meridian. Okay, UB is, urinary bladder, a lot of fear, lack of confidence, self-doubt, worry, you know, stomach, spleen. We often talk about that stomach and spleen are affected by overthinking. And I asked myself the question one day when, as I was reading this. I said, well, what does overthinking mean? Well, heck, worrying.
Yeah.
You know, like
ruminating.
Ruminating on problems. Yeah, you know, and not doing something about it. So it's just festering there, and so all those things are really comes down to fear, confusion, not knowing what to do, not knowing, well, you know what steps you need to do, but you're not doing it. So procrastination is very stressful too. So once you can finally take yourself out of that fear and become brave to make those decisions, like my son had to, make those decisions that are going to make your life better instead of making no decision or making the opposite decisions that are just making you more upset and more confused, less clarity in your life. So any blow to the head anywhere is really about confusion. You're already confused because the condition is already there. You're already suffering from it. So if you have a concussion or a brain injury, yes, that's God knocking you knocking you on the head saying, wake up, wake up.
Yeah.
You can do something about this. You really can, and you can. I assure you all that each one of us is so powerful if we choose to be powerful. Let's not be a wimp about our own health, about being happy, about being fulfilled, you know? Let's just take that brave step and just change it. That's what it comes down to. It really comes to changing whatever it is that you don't like that's already in your life, because it's causing you a lot of grief, a lot of pain, for sure.
Exactly. Now, here's a question. So do you use acupuncture in your office to help speed healing?
I really find that acupuncture, you know, like it's really well known. It's the best known tool in Chinese medicine. So I use it more like an adjunct now.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the psychological training, the thought training that I help people with is much more important. And the calming of the mind, the growing self-confidence, that's a heck of a lot more important than the acupuncture. And the acupuncture then falls out very naturally along with a herbal prescription if that is necessary at all. But the first thing that's more important is to recognize the psychological issues and to deal with those first or at the same time as using the acupuncture. So it's not the be-all and end-all.
Right. And actually, in my practice as well, even though people, you know, I have acupuncture is right under my name in front of my office, and that definitely does attract people to come in. But I find that it's, like I say, that's just one of the many healing tools and strategies,
yes,
you know, that we have. And the greatest, and I think you get a big kick out of it as well, but the biggest kick I get it is really people's personal growth. You know, how they transform and that their illness brings them in, but they're really knocking on the door of transformation. And so, and even with all the you know, the other things I use, I do find that, I mentioned earlier that, you know, one of the acupuncture patches I use helps to decrease stress. And sometimes folks cannot even focus on this whole spiritual growth, psychological stuff, because their nervous system is so out of whack. They can't even go there. They can't meditate. They can't even, you know. So we get them back into a more, you know, get their energetic brain balanced first, and then they can do some of that processing at more, you know, at higher levels. So it's just a tool, you know, to do the real work.
Yes, the real work is in the mind, and you are so right, Dr. Karen. It is fantastic to hear you say that. Because, you know, one of my clients once told me that she found meditation to be so stressful, it only stressed her out more because she thought she had to be perfect at it.
Yeah.
And I laughed at her. You know, I mean, perfect. So instead of beating yourself up every time your mind wanders, no, just, you know, get quiet again, clear your mind, break, you know, and just keep doing that over and over. It'll get easier, but, you know, in the meantime, it's a practice. I mean,
yeah.
And research recently, most monks have a completely different lifestyle than we do. So their research, in a way, is not very applicable to most of us in the world. So, and they had to figure it out, right, how to meditate properly. But the thing is that meditation isn't one of the things that I recommend right off the bat either, because they do have to get, as you say, their brain balanced first.
Yeah, it's so true. I think people just putting the intention and commitment, like you said earlier, that commitment to be well, deciding to be well and committing to that, it's almost as if it doesn't matter the form of whatever comes afterwards. It's that commitment that is so crucial, and that if they keep committing to that, that the right thing will come that will help them. But without that commitment, then we're back to that victim mode, and you can have the best modalities rated or the best research modalities out there, but it's not necessarily going to work for that person if they're not taking full responsibility for their own healing.
Yeah, my head is nodding. If you could see me, you'd see me nodding. Awesome.
Oh, that's great. Well, before we close, I wanted to know, do you have any, last thoughts, advice for people, either, children, adults, suffering from concussion or post-concussion syndrome? What advice would you give them?
Well, the first thing is don't give up. Never, ever give up, okay? I guess in February of 2015, I was doing a course on speaking on the stage, and one of the questions in the course was, what would happen if the people you were helping did not do what you asked them to do? And immediately the answer came to me, suicide, and I cried.
Oh my God.
I cried, and I knew that was my why. And there's a story about my oldest son, the one with the concussion, where 10 years earlier, he had called me up because a friend of his had told him that another friend had just committed suicide. And so this friend had found out that his father had a brain tumor. And then one day he just stepped in front of a moving light rail transit train and killed himself. And my son asked me, my God, Mom, why would he do this? And I said, it probably wasn't the brain tumor diagnosis that led him to it, but probably because he had so many unhappy things already happening in his life, and that was the last straw. Mm-hmm. And then I said to him, look, your mom and dad are always here for you, and, just call us when you have a problem, and don't ever give up. So that night when my son asked me for help, of course I said yes, because I had no idea come to this. And so what I know about post-concussion syndrome now is that's why my message is so important to get out there. But in order to help, you cannot give up. And I do have books on Amazon that are easily accessible. One is called Knockout Concussions, and I have two Heal Your Concussion books. So they're very readily accessible right now. This is where you can start. And you can learn more about me at my website at www.drjoannny.com. Concussion and PCS are temporary. I want to make that really clear. And thank you so much, Dr. Karen, for inviting me on this show.
Oh, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you for your passion and your commitment and wonderful resources out there. So you can get your books, I'm sure, at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Visit Dr. Joni at www.drjoni.com. And bless you, Dr. Joni. We hope to stay connected to you.
Thank you.
Whatever
I
way
do
possible.
Too. Yes.
All right. Thanks. And everyone listening, thank you so much as well. Until next time. Bye for now. Bless you all.